Mr. Smith, rail 2. Where did you go to after Janish?
Well, while we was in this village, we heard it on the radio from William Joyce, which they called Lord Haw Haw, that Hampshire Regiment was going to Arras. For training. So I don't know whether this is true or not, but the 2nd Battalion Hampshire has proceeded to Arras and started digging in there in the fields, and where we were digging in beside a house, and while we were digging we come across a lot of Army and German equipment.
British Army?
British Army, yes, such as from the First World War. And we were digging up bayonets and tin helmets, rifles. So whether the chaps in the First World War got killed there or not, I don't know, but all the equipment was there. Whether they got killed in that area and they boned or rotted, I don't know. But we was only up there for 2 days, and then we come back to the village in Janish again. So whether the army command just tried to fox the Germans or not, I don't know. But then we come, as I said, we come back to Janish for a little while. And then from there we went to a place called Bassy, up on the French-Belgian border. It's B-A-C-H-Y.
Where is it near to, Bassy? Which big place?
Well, I should say it's about 9 or 10 miles from Lille. Because we used to go into Lille there when we was off duty.
And what type of accommodation did you have at Bassy?
Same as at Janish. We had no private billets. It's in the barnyards. And but while we was at Bassy there, we were sent up to the forest to cut the timber for what they call hurdles for going down in the trenches, what we were digging along there.
Why did you need hurdles in the trenches?
Keep the sides up. But while we were doing it, we were joking amongst ourselves. It's what they used to do in the First World War. We're not going to be stuck in a trench for 4 years. That was our opinion of it.
You didn't think that you'd use the trenches?
No. No, as the wars was getting more modern.
So did you think it was a waste of time, all this entrenching?
Yeah, we thought it was a waste of time. As the army was more mobile with trucks and like in our regiment and personnel carriers. But while we was up in the forest, I mean, we used to enjoy ourselves and get on with what we were told to do, but we used to have so many men up the top of the forest and so many down the bottom, and those up the top used to chase all the rabbits out, and we used to catch them down the bottom.
For food?
For food, but not for our food, because when it got dark we used to hop over the boundary into Belgium and sell the rabbits in the cafes there. And then after we'd done that and had a couple of drinks, and we used to get back quick back on the French border again, because it wasn't allowed by the army, but when you're young you do them sort of things.
Why couldn't you have sold the rabbits in France?
Well, I didn't think they want them, because they could catch their own. But the Belgian people used to seem to buy them all right. Bloody cheap. It was all it was done for was beer money.
How much would you sell a rabbit for?
Oh, about 15 francs.
How much was that?
I'd say about... about a shilling, I suppose, in English money. Shilling or 1 and 6 pence. Belgian people were quite pleased to pay for it. I think that was all right for money.
So what type of work were you doing at Bashi besides entrenching?
Well, I just might do some physical training exercise, but not much army exercises, as far as I remember.
Did you do any weapons training?
Very little.
Were you making any other fortifications besides trenches?
No, that's all I remember what we were doing.
Did you see any blockhouses?
Not round that way, but I see all the, the Maginot Line. We went up there. Part of a training.
We'll come on to the Maginot Line a bit later. But round about Bashi, did you put up any barbed wire or anything like that?
Oh, yes, we were putting barbed wire up there, but as far as we could.
Were the French still friendly round about Bashi?
Yeah.
Did you ever come across any French people who didn't want you there?
No. No, not at that time.
Was it boring whilst you were at Bashi?
Well, in one way it was, but as I say, going up in the forest and passing the time away, collecting all the timber for the hurdles on it and digging trenches and putting a barbed wire along the border, so it wasn't too boring.
Which other units were with you at Bashi?
As far as I remember, just the two guard battalions.
How did you get on with the guards?
Well, all right, when we took Aldershot, but when the war is about, well, you don't see much of one another because you're so far apart in different sections, so you don't... You don't mingle with them unless you see them in the kepis.
Was there a good relationship between the Hampshires and the Guards or not?
Yeah.
What was the weather like whilst you were at Bashi?
Very cold. It was getting on to December then. And it's freezing cold and snow, everything.
Did you get any leave?
I got leave in I think it was February or March 1940. 10 days leave, I think it was.
That was in London, was it?
At Blackheath, yeah.
What was the morale of the troops at Bashi? Was the morale good or not?
Yeah, pretty high, yeah.
What about...
At that time we had no... there was no conscripts then. And I don't recollect any territorials. Not at that time in the battalion.
Whilst you were at Bashi, did you expect to go into action?
No, not at that time, because Germany hadn't invaded Belgium. Not then.
Did it surprise you that there was no action?
Yes. I mean, normally you would do patrols, but there was not much point in doing patrols Without the enemy being there, because you weren't allowed to cross into the Belgium territory.
Were there any false alarms about war?
Well, they might say there was false alarms, but we never used to take much notice of it.
What were there?
Well, it might have been propaganda that the Germans are going to invade France, and I mean, at that time they never used to hear a lot of aircraft come over France, because the Germans had to come in the Belgium airspace, which they weren't allowed to do then. So there weren't a lot of activity.
When did you go to the Maginot Line?
I don't know whether that was December 39 or January 1940, but we went up there training, a place called Metz, M-E-T-Z. And I think some of the, I don't know where it was, the guards or someone were allowed to go down into the Maginot Line and see the workings of it. And I heard it was very, very interesting with all the guns and that, what they had down there. But you could just see the turrets of the blockhouses right along, well, I say, the part I was in, you could see just part of turrets along that line.
Did you personally go and see the workings?
No, there was just a few. Well, I think were selected. I don't know whether they were mostly NCOs or officers.
So the whole of your battalion went to the Maginot Line, did it?
Yes, yeah.
For how long?
For training purposes. Not all that long. Really, then we come back to, as far as I remember, we come back to Bashi again, in the old billets.
What did you actually do whilst you were in the Maginot Line?
Well, just a bit of training. But it was very, as far as I know, and the friends of mine, you had a job to detect the Maginot Line. You didn't know that you was there until you got on top of the pillboxes or the blockhouses. Because what I was told by one of them who went down the Maginot Line, they had all the equipment and all the guns used to rise up from the ground. It was very well organised, but the trouble there was the Belgians wouldn't let the French, what I can remember of history, the Belgians wouldn't let the French extend the Maginot Line down to the Ardennes. And that's the cause of all the trouble.
Did you do any patrols whilst you were on the Maginot Line?
Well, actually, as I said before, there wasn't much patrolling to do because the enemy wasn't actually in Belgium then. But you used to do your training, I suppose, patrolling and that, but nothing happened. There's no shots fired or anything like that.
So this part of the Maginot Line, was it facing Germany or was it facing Belgium?
No, facing Germany.
Did there seem to be any barbed wire in the Maginot Line?
Oh, yes, there was barbed wire there in front of the Maginot Line itself. But the French was only allowed to go so far along their border, and then I should imagine they caught up with the Belgian frontier then.
Could you see the German positions?
No. No. We didn't used to move about much in the daytime, I suppose, because the Germans observing the troop movements.
Did you move at night?
Yeah, but it's very cold up there. I forget how long we stopped up that area, but then we come back to Brescia, as far as I remember, and We had a break there.
Was there any firing whilst you were in the Maginot Line?
No.
When you went back to Bashi, how long were you there for?
Well, I can't remember now. No, not quite certain. I know we was there, it's still there in the December of 39, because we had Christmas Day there. And I remember going in the CAF. There was mules in the army fixed up a big marquee. There was dinner there if you wanted it, but I myself went up to a cafe, and on Christmas Day I had egg and chips, and I was the only one in the cafe. So after I had that meal, I left there and I walked into Lille. That was about 8 miles away, I suppose.
How did you spend your time when you went into Lille for entertainment?
Well, went into brothel in there for a little while, and then there was plenty more troops in there. And then come out of there and had a couple of drinks and a calf, and then walked back to camp again. We was allowed out because there was no opposition from the Germans, so at that time, so we used to get that privilege.
Did you ever have any entertainers come out from Britain to entertain the troops?
Yeah, I remember George Formby. But he went right up in the, what we call the fighting line there, as well back. He said. But I've only got a slight recollection of that. I think there was more entertainers out there, but I don't recollect who they were. I mean, most of our spare time, if you was near the cafes, well, you spent them in there. You weren't, myself, I wasn't personally interested. I mean, if they came out there and everybody couldn't go down there, because there's not all that much room. But I recollect George Formby coming out there with his ukulele.
How much would the French charge in the brothels?
Or anything from 50 francs, 100 francs. It's all according what Madame said, I suppose. She used to have so much, and the woman used to have so much. But it was quite amusing to see these women sitting outside the doors on their chairs, you know.
Could the troops afford so much money?
No, well, my pay then was 200 francs a week, 200 German francs, 200 French francs a week.
Did any fights ever occur in the brothels?
No, not as I recollect.
Where did you move to after Bashi?
I remember going down to Cambrai, and we'd done some training down there, and also Douai.
What kind of training was that?
Just the ordinary field training.
And where were you billeted in those places?
In the farmyards again.
So where
were... We were never billeted in a house. I wasn't anyway. Or any of the empties. Well, some of them might have done, but when you get to different companies, well, you're spread out. So.
Where were you when the German attack took place?
Well, I think we was up at, we was back at Bashi again, I'm pretty certain of that. And I said previous, that was in the cafe in the afternoon, and the NCO come round and calling out, get back to your billets, and on the afternoon of the 10th, that was when Germans broke through, so a few of us a bit under the weather, but we managed to get our equipment on, and so we marched from there into Belgium, and we got just outside of Brussels. We marched through Brussels, and somebody, I don't know whether it was panic or what, gas attack. So everybody put their gas mask on, but it was just a hoax. Then the next day we marched up to the Ardennes, which was a tidy way away.
Whereabouts in the Ardennes?
Around Liège, Namur, and Dinant.
Did you visit those three places?
Yeah. We was at Dinant for a few days, but then the Germans started pushing us back from there. And it was all, there was a few rounds fired, and then as we left Dinant, there was what they called the fifth column, going round and knocking on people's houses, and telling them to get moving. That went on for a few days. And,
why did they do that?
To clutter the roads up to stop our troops falling back. The roads were cluttered up with farm carts, and I think when the Germans thought now they got all these civilians there, they're trying to trap the British Army, I think. And then the bombers used to come over, and everybody used to scatter in the trenches.
How did you know?
In the ditches.
How did you know people were, fifth columnists were going around doing this?
Well, nobody else had told them to. And they suspected it was the fifth column that was trying to conceal all the roads to stop our troops from doing a steady retreat.
Is this what the Belgians told you?
Well, one or two of them, they was mostly Flemish. And I did hear that it was the Flemish extremist against the government. How true it was, I don't know, but the roads was absolutely cluttered up with civilians. There was all sorts of traffic on the road. But it seemed funny to us, or to me anyway, that after they cluttered up all the roads, and then the German bombers used to come over and start not dropping bombs, machine gunning.
So the story was that the Flemish extremists were responsible for
cluttering the roads up. I should imagine that's because I don't think they wanted the war. But nor did England, as far as that go. But that was it.
Whereabouts did you first come into contact with the German troops?
Round Dinant, And then we started retreating from there.
When you first came across the German troops at Dinant, can you describe the positions which the 2nd Battalion of the Hampshires took up?
Well, it was a stop-and-go effort, really. And we were giving cover and fire to one another, and the other regiments were doing the same thing. But where Jerry came into Belgium, I couldn't say.
Who were the units on either side of you when you were at Dinant?
The guards and if I remember rightly, it was the the Green Howards, but I don't know how they got mixed up with us. But coming back further from there to up to the Albert Canal, and we was giving cover and fire to these other regiments, and the Royal Engineers had already mined the bridges. You had a certain time to get over them. We was fortunate we got the other side, but I think it was the Green Howards before half of them got across, the bridges had to be blown. And being half light, we dug in along the Albert Canal. Being half light, we thought it was the Germans that was trying to get over the canal, swimming over there, and small boats, but it, unfortunately, it was the Green Howards. And a few of them got killed and wounded. And the officers realised that we was firing on our own troops and give the order to stop fire.
Had they been challenged when they were coming back?
Well, they was coming through over the water. See, the bridges had been blown, where the only way across then was by swimming over, which was a pretty wide span. But when they was in the water, it looked like German uniforms in the half light. And it was pouring a rain as well that day. As soon as you had your little spade out trying to dig in along the canal, as soon as you dug it out, it was full up with water again.
Did you see this incident?
Yes, yeah, they was on the left of me.
Who was on the left of you?
Me. The Green Howards. Must have been the guards, one guard battalion, and then the Green Howards. But I remember we were digging in on the Albert Canal early morning before daybreak. And I had a conscript with me then. He was 17 years of age. But he could come back. He could have come back to England before that. They'd come round and asked any soldiers if they was under 18. I remember one or two realised they was in the wrong position, though, so they said they was under 18. As far as I know, they'd come back to England. But this lad, what was with me, I said, you got the opportunity to go back. I said, no good being a brave hero. He said, no, I want to stop. So, anyway, we dug this two-man trench. And I said to him, do you want to get down the hole first and put our gas coat down there to keep a bit of the wet off? I said, you want to get down there first and I'll do the first lookout? So he said, all right, well, I got down there and I got a packet of cigarettes out of my pocket, very wet. Because when I struck a match, he seemed to go a bit balmy, shall we say. He said, "Oh, the enemy can see the light." Well, I knew very well they couldn't, because he had the other gas coat over the top to save any flash going out. Anyway, he got